Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for a very special episode 2 of the Unleashing DY podcast. I'm really excited because we've got a super special guest here who's got a lot of insights that we're excited to share with all of you. So please welcome me in joining David Bird. He is a partner at Blue Yard Capital, and they are a venture fund that invests in a lot of innovation, and specifically they've invested in some DY projects. So David, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Tyler.
Yeah, wonderful. So I'd love to start off with, if you could just give the audience a quick background about you, yourself. How did you become a VC? And give us a bit of your background, if you could.
Yeah, I was a failed entrepreneur before I was a VC. I tried to start a software container company to compete against Docker. Long story short, they beat us really bad. And gave away their product for free and raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And you ended up returning the money I had left to investors. And one of the angel investors who invested in my company informed me that I worked for him then. I needed to work off the rest of my debt to him forever. And so that's how I ended up working in, jokes aside, that's how I ended up working in venture capital. he hired me first part-time and then full-time. Wow. And then I joined Blue Yard about a year ago.
Okay. Super interesting. And I guess in your transition into being a VC at Blue Yard, what specifically got you into crypto and then particularly into DY? Was there sort of a series of events, or was it, this is what we're doing and this is where you're at? How did that sort of come to fruition for you?
Yeah, I think I was looking at the Facebook magma. So less so in crypto and more in how I got into the decentralized wireless space. There was this open source packet core Facebook created called Magma. A lot of the early contributors to that, ended up founding Freedom 5, but they were also people who had come from my previous life in the developer tools world. They started a previous business called Mirantis, still around today, does kind of Kubernetes, OpenStack, company. And so I kind of followed the project, followed them, and then, you know, it kind of came time for them to raise money. We had a series of conversations, and Blue Yard ended up leading their Series A. Wow. So I guess that was kind of our, into decentralized wireless, into crypto more broadly. When I worked for this angel investor, Hank V. Hill, we had a number of investments, dating back to probably 2014, 2013 in various crypto networks. So we were early investor in Blockstream, which one of the like early Bitcoin core teams.
Yep.
And then a lot along the way. And then more recently, things like Axie Infinity. So, we went from full, Bitcoin hardliner to, gaming, degen. So yeah, we invested in a lot of stuff and so learned a lot of hard lessons along the way.
Yeah. Well, this is an interesting time in crypto. There's been lots of new hard lessons learned in recent times with all the FTX insanity going on. But taking sort of the just general crypto markets out of the equation, how are you evaluating, or how would you evaluate the current state of the DY landscape?
Yeah, I would say crypto is a couple of different subcultures, a couple of different groups that we all kind of group into crypto. So you have Sure. The like Bitcoin people who are like, fix the money, fix the world, sort of like want to replace fiat currency. You have the NFT people who, many of them, it's about like content rights management, artists continuing to get paid in some way. And then I would say you have the bucket that I would put decentralized wireless in is like this incentivized machine that can allow, humans to be organized and capital to be organized to go build some physical asset. It's basically asking the question, like, what if the Bitcoin miners did something useful instead of like generating a bunch of hashes? Yeah. And like, I would put Filecoin, which Blue Yard was an early investor in that same bucket. I'd put a lot of, especially early Ethereum in that bucket. It's sort of like, how do we do something useful? Helium, certainly in that bucket. And so this is the bucket that I think Blue Yard focuses on in crypto. What I would say of these three buckets, they all kind of made a Faustian pact, like a deal with the devil, with the fourth bucket, which is like the highly speculative, degens, for lack of a better word, who, the same sort of impulse that, drives meme stocks or 100x leverage, crypto futures. And so I think what's happened you know, in light of the FTX stuff, but even before then, with some of the like crazy NFT projects that got launched, was just like, when irresponsible stuff happens because of the like pact, you know, with this DeGen crowd, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater, and it becomes like really, really challenging for these communities to kind of move forward. You know, because like to the average person, like they don't know the difference between trying to build out a cell phone network, like with Helium, building out a 5G network, and like Bored Apes and Bitcoin and FTX. Like these are just all the same thing to most consumers.
Sure.
And also to most investors. And so I think there's going to be a lot of like regulatory crackdowns that make it actually very difficult to build a lot of the stuff that people are trying to build in decentralized wireless. So I would say, you know, valuation and capital invested are like well ahead of the actual technical progress and also the user adoption and commercial progress, which makes it a challenging place to invest. I mean, like maybe that will change over the next year or two. So we, you know, we're focusing on investing early and in the earliest stages of projects, as opposed to, you know, later stage investments and things that already exist today.
Sure. Yeah, that's really interesting. And that landscape will, I'm sure, continue to evolve, especially as a lot of these situations sort of change the general perspective, and those buckets that you said become unfortunately closer and closer intertwined. But as you're looking at the DeFi landscape in particular, where are you seeing the blue ocean opportunities that maybe transcend some of those problems that we're dealing with, or where they're interconnecting some of the differences between, you know, consumer applications or, you know, a future commercial enterprise that may not exist today? Where are you seeing opportunities when it comes to DeFi?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall opportunity is like, how do you build an MNO or MVNO that is run in a decentralized way? And so you disaggregate the hardware layer from the software layer, let's call it. So in going back to like Bitcoin, you have all these miners who are running hardware. Nothing they do can like tamper with the software layer, which is like the Bitcoin protocol. And so if you can create the same thing for something that's more useful, like say an MNO, that's great. And so like, I think Helium's trying to do that. There's a lot of challenges from a technical perspective in doing this to begin with. And then if you have the, you know, 900 and something thousand hotspots that have already been bought for LoRaWAN, which is like a low bandwidth protocol, there aren't a lot of uses for it. There's not a lot of customers for it. You know, people I think might feel burned on that and not be super keen to like go forward and buy a multi-thousand dollar, you know, small cell. And then I think when they buy that small cell, they're going to feel even more burned if it ends up being like, hey, LTE is not the protocol we're using. Maybe we go with Wi-Fi 6, or maybe we go with some 5G protocol. And now you bought this multi-thousand dollar, you know, I know you said you just bought one this morning, or it gets delivered this morning or something, but like, I think we run the risk of, if the technology is not ready, we sort of, people feel burnt on having spent money on this stuff and then not had any return on it. So that's the challenge. And so I think it makes it certainly not a blue ocean. You know, it's certainly a red ocean. It's certainly a lot of people trying to do it, whether it's Pollen or Helium or many more. But I think that's where the opportunity is. And I think whoever cracks the nut, it's like a, you know, AT&T size business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really unique way of looking at it. Talking about what I just got today would lead me to the arguably the most impressive and exciting DeFi investment that Blue Yard has made is in FreedomFi. So when you first made that investment, what was the thesis that drove this is a project that we want to back?
I mean, I think the team. I think you know, Boris is clearly an unstoppable force who has, you know, been through it in the cloud wars, let's call it. So the last, you know, let's call it $100 billion in revenue, you know, from almost zero, you know, 15 years earlier would be like the cloud. And I think Boris like saw the cloud and, you know, worked in that industry and was part of that growth and built a really substantial business. But I think he didn't build like the most substantial business, and he kind of learned in that building, like where real value went, like AWS and Amazon and Microsoft with Azure made so much more money than the people who did like OpenStack or even like the VMwares of the world, the Red Hats of the world. Yeah. And so I think he now understands like where you need to sit in the value stack and these sort of things, has a very nuanced view, as an experienced view. And so does, you know, the rest of his team. So, you know, now they've you know, been acquired by Helium, and he's at Nova Labs, you know, running their mobile business. And so, you know, I'm actually like really optimistic in terms of Nova Labs' mobile business and how they'll be able to, you know, build a better business there. And I think it's a huge opportunity. You know, how people can invest in that, you know, I don't know. Like, I think the you know, amount of progress that exists today is like basically zero. And, you know, even with FTX, you know, Contagion, the price of Helium is still pretty high.
Right.
And so, and if the price of Helium goes lower, then you also need to wipe out all these miners, this whole community. And so it's this kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't situation they're in, which is pretty tough. And then not to mention like moving to Solana. Solana also is having a series of problems, you know, related to FTX Contagion. So it's pretty tough. So while I think they're a great team and I hope they're successful, I think there's also opportunities for lots of other people to build a ecosystem where lots of companies work together and lots of companies do different things. Like, I don't think DUI equals Helium. And I think also Helium as a protocol could mean lots of companies working together in a, you know, kind of cohesive way and building this vision together. So that's kind of stuff I'm investing in, is just like supporting this overall ecosystem.
Sure. Yeah. And so if we were to sort of peel back the layers a little bit, you mentioned Boris in particular as being part of like a really incredible team. When you are evaluating opportunities, how do you sort of think about picks and shovels versus, you know, consumer applications, and how does the founder and the team come into that? So if someone's saying, hey, I see this opportunity with DUI, I see where this is going, I think I've got a value add product or service that we can bring to the market, and I'm interested in raising money. What are you looking for in particular for someone that would want to go down that path?
Yeah, I think we're looking for real commercial traction. Like, you have users who pay for your product because it's great and they get some value from it. When we invested in FreedomFi, they hadn't actually started doing anything for Helium yet. So they actually were, you know, providing like a hardened configuration of Magma for a number of customers who wanted private CBRS networks.
Sure.
And so they just had the kind of skill set, and then they saw the Magma, you know, they saw the Helium opportunity, and they were like, great, let's go after this and tackle this. And so I think when we invest in a company, we want to make sure that they're driving like real commercial value for their end customers and for their users, and not just being driven by kind of speculative dynamics. You know, going back to the degen deal with the devil, I think like we try to avoid these businesses and kind of always have, because, you know, it's like it all ends in tears. It's sort of like great on the way up. You know, but no amount of sunshine in the Bahamas will make it any less toxic on the way down. So
yeah, right. The other aspect that we touched on, or that you touched on a little bit, was that FreedomFi is, to my understanding, the only project in the DUI space that has been exited. So they were acquired by Helium, as you mentioned. How do you see the transition of the DUI industry sort of progressing over time? There's clearly been players in the space that are competing with incumbents, and there's, you know, people competing with trying to build the actual network layer itself. They're trying to provide the hardware that could maybe be a part of that, where they're building atop the network. How do you see the actual industry? Is it, there's going to be a handful of players that shake out to be the protocols that win and everybody builds atop those? Or how are you seeing that over time, if you were to guess what will happen in 5 or 10 years?
I think generally, you know, in any industry, especially in technology, it's turtles all the way down. So rather than trying to replicate something that exists today and say, oh, I'm going to launch my own token against Helium, I think the question is, how do you layer what you're doing into Helium in a way that everyone wins and provides more value to that overall ecosystem? And also, you can, you know, because you're providing more value, capture some of that additional value you're creating. So, you know, when I look at, you know, for example, like what you guys are doing at Enum, I think that this is just like one piece of something that would go into a broader ecosystem, but an important piece, and there's lots of value that can be created on top of that. So yeah, I mean, that's how we evaluate investments, I think, generally. If you're just trying to replace something that exists today and you think there's like a quick way to make a buck in, you know, getting acquired, that's probably not, you know, our type of investment. We don't really like think about exits as a win. You know, I think ideally we're investing in businesses that we can hold forever. and are just like really great enduring businesses. So, you know, while I'm excited for the FreedomFi team and it, you know, is great financially for them, I think, you know, part of me is still sad that they didn't go and, you know, build the, you know, crown castle of DY, right? That they didn't go build some huge, you know, massive company. So, you know, and maybe they will inside of Nova.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that for, if we're looking at FreedomFi, for example, do you think that their opportunity to maybe turn what they were, what they are doing and build a bigger castle within that ecosystem, do you think that's possible by the Nova acquisition? Or do you see projects, for example, that were maybe not doing what FreedomFi was doing, but they want to sort of create their own stamp on the world, and working independently of the existing players? Like, how would you think about that if you were a founder that was interested in going out and doing some, you know, some new exciting project?
Yeah, I mean, like we can talk about particulars. I think Pollen is challenging because like there's no market for their token. And so, you know, there's no liquidity for their token. No one really bought it. And so if you're saying, hey, I want to go set up, you know, a tower, I want to go or set up some CBRS access point, you know, and get paid for that, you know, you want to transact in a token that has some level of liquidity. And, you know, to be totally fair, Helium doesn't have a ton of liquidity. It's in like the single $1 million a day in liquidity. Sure. And with FTX dropping off, which was like one of the two major exchanges it was traded on, like their liquidity is actually going to continue to drop substantially. So, but Pollen has like really no major exchanges supporting it.
Right.
And so I think it's difficult. So I just think your efforts better spent instead of trying to like replicate Helium as a token, figuring out how you participate in that ecosystem. And then I would say, you know, Helium has a responsibility to make sure that they don't try to like capitalize on that ecosystem. So I think they're getting better at this. So if like Helium was the only company that was allowed to make miners, this would be like a huge problem, right? But instead they're like, hey, we're gonna have other companies build these miners. I think they go a step further. Right now they have this like whitelist kind of mechanic where like you have to be an approved miner by essentially Nova Labs. Sure, it's like less direct than that. Sure. But I think there's like ways in which this can become more open and more exciting for people to build in that ecosystem. And the more they can attract talented people in that ecosystem, I think the greater and larger, you know, their ecosystem will become. So, yeah, my advice to someone would just be like, don't replicate what exists today. See how you can add more value on top of it.
Awesome. That's really good advice. On that note, would there be other kind of final thoughts or advice that you would give to founders or people that are interested in building within the DY landscape and ecosystem more generally?
Yeah, I would stay away from anything that relies on speculation and, you know, the price going up and anything like that. And I would focus on like just generally like good business practices of like, does it provide value? And that's why people are paying me. And anytime, you know, someone gives you advice and you're rejecting that advice because you say, oh, in Web3, it's different, or oh, in crypto, it's different, or oh, in DY, it's different. You're probably wrong, like in the limit. And so you should really be more open to that advice. Be my advice.
That's awesome. And I think, especially in light of everything going on, I hope everybody will start taking that to heart, and that'll become the new mantra and thesis as we move forward. Because it's certainly a required pill to swallow as things in the industry are changing and transitioning. Well, David, I wanted to thank you so much for taking the time for coming on and chatting with us. This was incredible to get your perspective, to get your feedback, to get your advice. Obviously, you have a really unique point being an investor in the space. And so I just wanted to thank you. Where can people follow up and kind of stay engaged with what you're doing? Is there a Twitter, LinkedIn? What's the best way for people to sort of follow you, or Blue Yard in general?
Yep. Blue Yard has a Twitter at Blue Yard. So that's probably the best way. Yeah, we try not to be the main character, and you know, I'd say try to spend more time promoting our founders than ourselves. So
understand. That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, David. We really appreciate it again. And thanks so much, everyone. Take care.
Have a good one, Tyler. Bye.